Good morning, everybody. I hope you are well. I'm looking out to see the trees just swaying about in the breeze and the sunshine producing all these beautiful shadows going across the grass. I wonder if I asked you to name three things that you are grateful for, what would you say? Don't overthink it. For some of us, we could list 33 things and other of us might struggle with three. What brings you joy? In the last podcast, a couple of weeks ago, we thought about being honest before God, taking our troubles to him and waiting with him in difficult times. And this week, we're thinking about an opposing emotion, how gratitude to God, thanking and praising him, leads us to a place of joy. Celebrating God's sustenance of the world, its vastness, harmony and structure, bringing security and deep inner joy. It can become so easy to forget all the blessings we have on a daily basis and take them for granted. You may have heard of the phrase hedonistic adaptation. As humans, we have the tendency to quickly return to a relatively stable level of happiness, whether we've experienced positive or negative events in our lives recently. Basically speaking, we get used to the level of money or chocolate or whatever we have that brings us pleasure. Similarly, studies show as populations become wealthier, they do not become happier. Joy comes from a deeper place. Let's read some verses from Psalm 104, which has inspired many a song. And following that, I'll read from Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4. Let all that I am praise the Lord. O Lord, my God, how great you are. You are robed with honour and majesty. You are dressed in a robe of light. You stretch out the starry curtain of the heavens. You lay out the rafters of your home in the rain clouds. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride upon the wings of the wind. O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the ocean, vast and wide, teeming with life of every kind, both large and small. See the ships sailing along, and Lethean, which you made to play in the sea. They all depend on you to give them food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them, and they are richly satisfied. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let all sinners vanish from the face of the earth. Let the wicked disappear forever. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. These readings show that there's a direct correlation between gratitude and joyfulness. Those who are grateful are happier than those who aren't. Thinking about good things causes us to rejoice. It reduces anxiety and gives us peace. So aren't we all going around with big cheesy grins all the time? Well, that's possibly down to hedonistic adaptation. We get used to what we have. And as we thought about last time, we also need to be realistic and not cover up difficult situations. We can all put on a happy face, but I'm guessing that everyone would like to be more joyful. And by that, I mean a deep inner joy rather than a surface level happiness. We're not talking about covering over difficult times. Paul goes on to write in Philippians 4, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul suffered in his life, wrongful imprisonment, shipwrecks, beatings, and yet he had an inner contentment and joy. He taught the early church to think about good and lovely things, to celebrate the praiseworthy and the excellent, which I suspect is how he achieved this inner joy. What good and lovely things did he meditate on, I wonder? Long before any knowledge of ecosystems and categorisations of the natural world, the psalmist wrote of the mountains and valleys, sun and moon, people and animals, harmonious life and seasons. He notes that a God capable of running the whole world can therefore be trusted to run our lives. He sustains creation and is therefore dependable and cares for his people. Note that this is a psalm of praise to our Creator, not the creation. People would have responded to it differently at the time, for this is in direct opposition to the understanding that prevailed. Ancient mythology believed in many gods, yet verse 19 says, "You made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when it set." In direct opposition to the common belief that the Egyptian sun disk, Aten's rays, illuminated the world. And in verse 26, Lethean, a mythical sea monster in ancient literature, is also credited as being part of God's creation. This is radical thinking for the time. One God made everything. Wow, his might is certainly to be praised. When we thought about cultivating spiritual practices earlier in the year, one of the topics covered was study. But it's not just books that we can study, it's God's world too. It renews our minds and transforms us. Richard Foster writes, "The least recognised, but perhaps the most important field of study, the observation of reality in things, events and actions. The easiest place to begin with is nature. It is not difficult to see that the created order has many things to teach us." Isaiah 55 tells us that the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you and the trees of the field will clap their hands. As Gerard Marnie Hopkins says, the world is charged with the grandeur of God. Or as Psalm 19 puts it, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. We have many names for God, many ideas about him, but he's still indescribable. Creation opens up further possibilities, wonder, awe and joy in God's goodness. The Passion Translation reads, "Everything I am will praise and bless the Lord. O Lord my God, your greatness takes my breath away, overwhelming me by your majesty, beauty and splendour." For when we examine creation in Psalm 104, we see that God provides oceans, grain, fruit, nourishment, health, humanity and animals, light, seasons, a great variety, a vast universe for us to enjoy that reflects part of who God is. Stackhouse writes, "Our salvation takes place in the theatre of our created world and not in some cul-de-sac of religious piety." I was telling someone recently how much we were enjoying living in the countryside, and they asked what it had taught me about God, and there is just so much I could say. But I think that my abiding thought is in God's pure delight in all that he has made, the enjoyment he has in his world, the care he has from the tiniest to the most magnificent part. And when I look at creation, it helps me to count my blessings too, to savour all that God has made for me to enjoy and to care for too. And in saying thank you for this gift, it produces a joy in me. This joy turns to strength. As Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." I wonder how often do we stop and simply praise God? How often do we celebrate God, observe the patterns and sustainability in nature, which leads us to a deep knowledge of his reliability in our lives as just a tiny part of his creation? This is not about denying truth. This is about praising him in all circumstances. What helps you to savour God's creation? For me, slowing down and focusing on one thing at a time, noticing and paying attention to the trees or the sea, the tiny wildflower growing in that crack in the dirt, the llamas that I can see from the cottage, and listening to the braying of the donkey in the next field put a smile on my face and gratitude in my heart. Our world is alive with possibility. With a God who encompasses us in his loving handiwork, from galaxies and mountains to intricacies that we can only appreciate using a microscope. His care is evident in and flows through all of us, not just from other humans, but the wealth of his created order. How good are you at spotting God's goodness and sustaining power, helping us to be expansive in our praise, to begin to imagine the largeness of God. Maybe, just maybe, if our world has become small and despondent and we see obstacles and interruptions, we need to stop and savour the beauty around us, to celebrate God, to revel in him and find our souls nourished, our joy deepened and our gratitude spilling over into praise. Rather than finish with an audible prayer today, can I suggest that you go for a walk or watch a nature programme? Maybe pick a daisy or do something that allows you to enjoy the vastness of God's creation. And as you do that, ask God to speak to you through all that he has made for you to enjoy. Philippians 4:4 in the Message paraphrase says, "Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him." Amen.